several weeks ago, I preached a series on prayer, and one of the lessons was elements of prayer. One of the elements of prayer that we talked about was praise. I'm going to come back this morning and talk a little bit more about the prayer of praise. And notice some things that we didn't really have time to deal with in that one lesson, where we covered several of the elements of prayer. We're talking about the prayer of praise. How much an earthly father delights in the words of worthy praise his children give to him. Those of you who have children, don't you just love it when your children praise you and give thanks to you for the things you do for them? When you get a Father's Day card, or just a Father's Day greeting, or a birthday card, when your children show appreciation to you, don't you just love that? How very close his children feel toward him, and what great joy and satisfaction they receive because they tell him of their admiration, respect, and love for him. That makes them feel good that they have been mindful to do that. Does not our Heavenly Father, who loves us more than any earthly father, also take delight in the praise and adoration expressed to him by his loving, faithful children? And do they not feel very close to him and receive great spiritual satisfaction and upliftment because they have so spoken to him in prayer? I believe this to be so. Jesus and others inspired men, the prophets and the apostles, have constantly referred to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ as being our Father as well. And I believe there's a reason why that particular figure is used for God, is to show that he loves us just like, or perhaps even to a greater extent than a father loves his children here on the earth. And he loves us, and he'll do anything for us. He's provided for us every spiritual blessing. He's provided a heavenly home for us. I know we sometimes get caught up in the worries of life and the troubles that we have here on this earth, but we need to keep in mind that this is only a temporary place. God didn't intend for us to stay here throughout our existence. He has a better place for us. Of course, that better place is heaven. And he wants us to love him greater even than we do our own earthly fathers. And he loves us as his children to a greater degree than our earthly fathers love us. And we need to be willing and ready to praise him to a greater degree even than we praise our earthly fathers. The very act of a Christian excessively praying God presupposes his respect for the infinite grace, dignity, love, majesty, and goodness of the Heavenly Father, whose name is supremely holy, that is, set apart from every other name. How can any Christian who is deeply devoted to God, loving him with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, as Jesus said, is the first and great commandment, possibly keep from expressing this attitude of devotion and love when he prays to him from whom all blessings flow, the source of every good and perfect gift? Those are comments from James M. Cole in his book, Prayer, pages 39 and 40. That is a very good book to study, and I've got a copy of that if you would be interested in studying that book. And many of my lessons contain points from on prayer, and main points taken from that book. We're talking about praise. We're talking about speaking to God about God. That's what praising God in prayer is. Speaking to God about God, relating to him the effects that he has on us. He is marvelous, and we marvel at him. He is magnificent, and we magnify him. That is, we speak great words about him. We couldn't make it any larger than he is. But we give credibility, we give not just credibility, we give our voice to the fact that he is greater than we can possibly imagine or appreciate. He is glorious, and we glorify him in our praise. Praise can be thought of as a string of proofs about God strung together with the joy of the beholder. These truths seem to center around certain themes, including the attributes of his character, the holiness of his name, the incomparability of His majesty, His mighty work in creating and sustaining all things, and the grace of His work for His people. When we look, and we're going to look at some of the examples from the Bible of praise, this is the kind of a thing that we see. We see men, inspired men, talking to God about God, centering around things such as His attributes, His character, etc. And so those are the kinds of things that inspired men did in their praise to God, but those are the kinds of things that we need to do when we speak to God about God, or when we praise God. The prayer of praise gives glory and honor to God's acts, as well as His character, His creation of mankind, and His provision, both physical and spiritual, for man. When we sing praise to God, or when we praise God in our prayers, those are the kinds of things that we need to center on: His character, His creation of mankind, and His provision, both physical and spiritual, for man. He created man as a spiritual / physical being. On this earth, He provides for man's physical well-being, but He also provides for man's spiritual well-being. He provides the Word for man's spiritual nourishment, and He has provided heaven for man's eternal spiritual home. But it's up to us to nourish ourselves on His Word, so that when we die, we will be ready for that eternal home in heaven. And praise God that we can, that we have His Word, that we can nourish ourselves spiritually and be ready for that home. When Jesus began the model prayer in Matthew 6, His opening words were all centered on God. In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. God's name is hallowed. It is set apart from every other name, and we need to reverence that name. Father is not His personal name. The personal name of all three members of the Godhead is Jehovah. Jesus has a more personal name, a peculiar name that Jesus, Jehovah, saves. And then the Holy Spirit, of course, He is also Jehovah, although He is not the Father and He is not the Son. And we don't understand that as well as we would like, but that's what the Bible reveals. They are all three God, they are all three Jehovah, but they are separate persons and have distinct identities. But God, the Father in particular, His name is hallowed, and we need to recognize it as such, and praise Him for His name as well as the other things that we've talked about. Praise is our way of putting God first in our prayers. Just as Jesus placed those words, hallowed be Thy name, my Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, first in the model prayer, I believe He was teaching His disciples and us, because we are His disciples, that perhaps we need to put God first in our prayers. Perhaps we need to speak words of praise to God before we begin to supplicate God, before we begin to intercede on behalf of others, before even we begin to confess our sins to God, we need to praise God. Let Him know that we appreciate who He is, we appreciate what He is, we appreciate what He has done on our behalf and on behalf of others. It's our way of putting God first in our prayers. Praise can be defined as the act of relating to our Father, and secondarily to ourselves and others when it's a public prayer, the wonder, delight, and gratitude that His character and acts generate in us. When we contemplate His character and His acts, does that not generate delight and gratitude in us? Are we not delighted to the fact that He has created us? And are we not grateful that He has provided for us in Jesus Christ every spiritual blessing, including the hope of eternal life with Him in heaven? And if we're grateful for that, we ought to express that gratitude in our prayers. To praise God physically implies that we publicly announce His glorious nature and marvelous acts. God is wonderful, and we respond with wonder. He is delightful, and we delight in Him. He is generous, and we are grateful. That's His character, and His character is manifested in His act or His activities. Let's consider some examples of praise you from God's holy word. In Psalm 111, verses 1 through 3, David said, "Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever." When David said, "I will praise the Lord with my whole heart," what is he talking about? Well, as we've studied in the past, the heart is not talking about the physical blood pump in our bodies. It's talking about the inner man, the combination of our intellect, our emotions, our conscience, and our will. In other words, David said, "I will praise him throughout my inner being and with my entire inner being." The emotions are involved in that, the intellect and the conscience and the will. He said, "In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation I will do that." And he says, "The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them." Have you been studying the works of the Lord? Where would you go to conduct yourself? Conduct such a study? Well, go to his words, because his words are revealed therein. All his words, probably not. But all the works that have to do with the ultimate foundation of mankind are recorded there. And by studying those, we manifest that we have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He goes on, verses 4 through 6, "He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice. All his precepts are sure. They stand back forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name." In recounting these acts of God, David is indeed praising God and giving us reasons why we should praise God. We need to keep those things in mind. Or finally, in verse 10 of Psalm 111, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments." His praise endures forever. As long as there are a people on this earth who have a good understanding, who have a fear of the Lord, and who do his commandments, there are those on this earth who praise him, and his praise will endure. In Psalm 135, verses 1 through 3, David said, "Praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him, O you servants of the Lord, you who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant." In Psalm 146, verses 1 and 2, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." In Psalm 147, verse 1, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." In Luke chapter 1, verses 46 and 47, we have Mary, the mother of Jesus, praising God. She says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." To magnify the Lord, it's not like, you know, you look through a magnifying glass and something that's small might look bigger. No, God is not so small that we need to do anything to make him bigger. We magnify the Lord when we speak great swelling words on him. We demonstrate through our words how great we realize that God is, and he's probably even greater than we realize. But if we have some realization, some appreciation of how great God is, we need to manifest that when we pray to him and when we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, Peter writes, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." I can't read those words without thinking of Hosea. You might remember Hosea was told to go and take a wife of idolatry and whoredom. And he married Gomer. And they had children. And God told them in each case what the name of those children. One of those children was named Lo Ruhamah, no mercy. Another one, Lo Andy, not my people. Peter is doing just the reverse. He's writing to Gentile Christians and telling them that once they were not God's people, now they are. Once they were Lo Andy, now they are Andy. They are God's people. Once God did not have mercy on Lo Ruhamah, now God had mercy on Ruhamah. So just as Hosea was naming his children by the decree of God in such a thing, such a way as to teach a lesson to Israel, that they were no longer God's people and that they would no longer have mercy from God. He reversed that under the New Testament. As Gentiles began to obey the gospel, he made those who were not a people. And notice that. You were not a people. They were a plurality of people. They were not a singular people. They were a plurality of people. They had different countries, different cultures, different gods. But once they obeyed Jesus Christ and became Christians, then they were not just a people, but the people of God. You were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, Lo Ruhamah, but now have obtained mercy, Ruhamah. And so they were a special people. Wow, what was so special about them? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we need to be about. If we are God's people, we claim to be God. Then we are to be proclaiming the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. I don't know how we do that without praising Him in prayer and praising Him in song at the very least. In Revelation 4 and verse 8, we have an apocalyptic vision. We talked a little bit about that in class. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest. They are not. Saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. For ever living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. I believe that John is getting a picture there and is giving that picture to the seven churches of Asia of what is actually taking place in heaven, in eternity. And one of these days we're going to be a part of that. One of these days we're going to be among those people who are eternally praising God if we are faithful unto this. Which means we're going to have to be praising God in this life, among other things. God is deserving. He's worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And when we praise Him, we give Him. We acknowledge the fact that He is worthy of glory and honor and power. As a matter of fact, in that model prayer we spoke about, Thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power forever. Amen. We acknowledge that in that model prayer, for Jesus did. And we must acknowledge that when we pray. What are the purposes of praising God in prayer? These fall into two categories. First of all, there are the purposes of God. Why God desires that we praise Him. Why has God commanded us to praise Him? Why has God instructed us to include praise in our prayer? There are God's purposes, the purposes of God. And then there are the purposes of man. Why we should desire to praise Him. There's that which God wanted to accomplish and telling us to praise Him, and then there is that which we should want to accomplish by praising God. I want to look at both of these. Let's look at God's purposes for praise. God desires praise in order that He might receive glory, not because He needs to receive it, but because we need to give it to Him. You know, one of the arguments that atheists and deists make from time to time against the existence of the one true with God is that, well, he must be awfully self-centered and he wants us to praise him all the time. No, he's not self-centered. He just knows who he is. And we need to know who he is. And we need to acknowledge who he is. He doesn't need our praise. Like he told, I believe, Job in the long ago, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. God is self-sufficient. He's not served with men's hands as though he needed anything. No, we don't serve him to meet his needs. We serve him to meet our needs. And we praise him to meet our needs. We need to give him praise. And that's why he designed praise. Praise is God's desire because it is his proper due as we consider who he is and what he has done. He's worthy of that praise. He deserves to be praised. You know, we all like to be appreciated for the good things that we do. And you know, if nobody else, if nobody on earth appreciates the good things they do, God does. But we think about it. Every good thing we do, we ought to have done. Though we owe it to God, it's not to somebody else. And we didn't think that we deserved any praise for doing what was our duty to do. That's what Jesus said, which is unprofitable service. We've done what was our duty to do. But we like to be appreciated. Well, God deserves to be appreciated. And he's appreciated, or that appreciation is manifested when we praise him. Praise is God's desire because it is truth about him. When we speak words of praise to God, we're simply speaking the truth about what he is, who he is, what he has done, and the fact that he has done those things for us. What are man's purposes for praising God? Why should man desire to praise God? What does man accomplish by praising God? Praise, first of all, alters our perspective. It awakens us to who God really is. The more we praise God, the more we are aware of who he is, what he is, what he has done. So it awakens us to who God really is. It makes us ever more conscious of the fact that he is indeed the creator. He is indeed our Father. He is indeed the creator of all that exists. It awakens us to who God really is. It awakens us to see ourselves more clearly as creatures, totally dependent upon his good graces. It awakens us to reevaluate our troubles. I'm a child of God. God loves his children. He'll be there for me in my troubles. He will help me through those troubles. He will not abandon me. He has said so time and time again. In Hebrews 13:4, I will not abandon you. And so we can reevaluate our troubles. The more we praise God, the more we realize he'll be there for us. And our troubles will be so insignificant in view of the fact that who God is, the one that we worship, he's our Father. And he has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ, and he'll give us gifts that we need and things that we can use from above. And we can pray for those gifts and have confidence that when and to the extent that they are in harmony with his revealed will, he will grant us those petitions, those supplications. It awakens our proper dependence upon and faith in the Lord God. One thing the Israelites had to learn as they went through the wilderness is that they were totally dependent upon God. A couple of times they didn't have any water fit to drink. And water was poured forth from a rock. They didn't have any meat. They didn't have any food, and so manna was sent down. They got tired of the manna, so God sent quails into the camp. And some of them were complaining about the quails while the meat was still plenty. Sometimes we're just not satisfied with the goodness that God gives us. And that's sad. But the more we praise God, the more our perspectives are altered, the more awakened we are to our proper dependence upon and faith in the Lord God. Praise does that. Praise awakens us, or in us, a greater desire for the life offered in Christ, eternal life in heaven in the presence of God. The more we talk to God about him, the more we long to be with him. The more we long to see him. We can't see Him with these physical eyes. But when we get to heaven, we won't have these physical eyes. When we get to heaven, we'll have spiritual bodies that will be perfectly fitted for eternal life in that glorious city that can only be described in terms of diamonds and other jewels and precious metals. And that description, I am confident, while it's a beautiful description, it will pale in comparison to the reality of the thing. But the more we praise God and talk to God about God, the more we want to be with Him, so the greater will be our desire for the life offered in Christ. Not only does praise offer our perspective, but praise aids our victory in spiritual warfare. The more we praise God, the more we realize that He'll be there with us when we face our spiritual enemies, the devil and his angels and his human pawns, those who desire nothing more than to pull us and keep us away from God. He'll be there for us. And we realize that more and more the more we praise Him. He'll aid us in our victory in spiritual warfare. Praise promotes our own spiritual growth. The more we praise Him, the greater we long to be there, and that's the more retrospective we will be about our own spiritual condition, and the more we will want to grow, and the more diligent we will be to find nourishment in God's Word, and the greater will be our spiritual growth. Praise has offered a proper perspective so that we speak to God in the way that we ought. When we begin our prayers with praise, then the more likely the rest of our prayer will be like it ought to be. It is difficult for us to think too highly of ourselves and to pray selfish prayers if we're continually praising God. If I begin my prayers with praising God, I won't likely be as selfish in my supplication as I might otherwise be. Remember the account in Luke chapter 18 of the Pharisee and the publican went into the temple to pray. The Pharisee, he said, "Oh, I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, even this old publican over here. I fast twice a week. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not a murderer. I don't do this and I don't do that." And the publican, wouldn't so much as lift his eyes up into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." It's hard for that old Pharisee to see his fault. When he wasn't praising God, he was praising himself. Oh, he thanked God, but he was bragging in the whole prayer about what he had done and not done. Last twice a week, he gave tithes of all that this. His problem was he wasn't praising God enough to put his prayer in proper perspective. So let us praise God continually. Let us praise Him in our prayers. Let us praise Him in our songs. And let us praise Him in our conduct. You know, when we live our lives what He would have us to live, we are in effect praising Him. I believe that's what Jesus meant when He told the disciples, "Let your light shine, so that others may see your good works and glorify God." Our good works are three-dimensional praise unto God. You need to make your heart right with God. We encourage you to do nothing more than what Jesus and the apostles said. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent your sins, confess your faith, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins. If you've done that and not lived your life in harmony with God's will, you haven't been praising Him. You haven't been in your prayers, you haven't been praising Him in song, you haven't been praising Him in your conduct, you need to repent of that. We encourage you to do that. While we stand.